This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We are here today with Dr. William Steiger, Director of the Office of Global Health Affairs and Special Assistant to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. As Special Assistant for International Affairs, Dr. Steiger represents the United States at various multilateral organizations, including the World Health Organization and the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. Dr. Steiger, what is your evaluation of the Global Fund, and how can it be improved?
Thanks so much for having me. The Global Fund is a remarkable institution. It really is one of the signature achievements in international development in the last decade, maybe for longer than that, in my view. It's just changed the way development works in a very positive way. It's a natural complement to our U.S. bilateral programs, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief and his malaria initiative. And our view is it's had an impact not just on the three diseases, but on the overall delivery of healthcare in much of the world, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, in a very positive way. If I could give some advice to the executive director and the board on my way out about how to improve it, I'd say three quick things. One is focus on value for money in the next year or so. The growth of the institution is going to slow with the world financial crisis and the slowing of development assistance budgets. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's time to take stock. And the easiest way to get better value for money in the Global Fund grants is on procurement. Still, we're paying too much for the same drug in different places, and we could be getting much better efficiencies in the way we buy drugs and medical devices and other things with some focus from the board and the principal recipients. The second thing would be for the board and the secretariat to focus on sub-recipients, not just the principal recipients that receive the big chunks of money, but the smaller groups, often non-governmental organizations, that receive money subsequently. And then also focus on the quality of the data, particularly the data those sub-recipients submit. Most of the money is now in the hands of smaller organizations, but they're not as tightly bound into the fiscal oversight and performance monitoring systems of the fund. And finally, the third thing would be a better division of labor with other institutions. The fund is a remarkable, as I say, unique achievement and a unique institution, and it shouldn't compromise the way that it does business. But a better working relationship with the World Health Organization, with UNAIDS, and others would help the grants move better on the ground.
And what are your recommendations for WHO reform?
WHO, again, an institution that's absolutely crucial to securing the health of all of us. I think if we didn't have a WHO, we'd have to invent one. And there are many things the organization does really well. But there are a couple of big challenges that face the Director General in the remaining part of her first term, what we hope is her first term. One is a disequilibrium or an imbalance in the budget. The policies of many donors, including the United States, of zero nominal growth, so no increases hardly at all in the budget from the assessed contributions, has meant an enormous growth on the voluntary or extra-budgetary side that is outside of the channels of governance and often really outside of the control of the Director General. And we donors need to work with her to change that. And a second imbalance is that while most of the money or a large chunk of the money is going towards infectious diseases, what countries are increasingly asking for is help with chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, obesity. Those are not reflected as well in the spending that WHO has in its budget and in the staffing that it has at headquarters and in the country and regional offices. So changing that balance to recognize the coming demographic boom in chronic diseases, unfortunately, would be a big strategic positive change for the WHO as well.
And what would you consider your greatest success as Special Assistant, and what lesson learned would you want to impart upon your successor?
Well, I've been very fortunate in working for two superb bosses in Secretary Thompson and Secretary Leavitt, who really understood international affairs, who had a great passion for global health, and who were able to give me enough rope to go out and help them do some remarkable things, including helping to start the Global Fund and working on the beginning and the implementation of the President's Emergency Plan. And those two programs, my small part in them, I would say, are the things that I'm most proud of having a hand in getting off the ground. Now, my successor, I think he or she is going to have a great job. I've really enjoyed working at HHS, doing what I've been doing, creating a new office and helping the department create a big international profile in health. And I would just say it's surprising, perhaps, to outsiders, but my biggest thing for the new secretary and my successor to focus on is to realize how much time they're going to have to spend outside the United States to improve the health or secure the health of people inside the United States. It's now a global department. Global health matters to us every day in the United States in our own health and healthcare, and keeping international on the front burner of the secretary's agenda would be my main recommendation to my successor.
This has been a CSIS Global Health Policy Center podcast at www.smartglobalhealth.org.